Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR tests drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grand Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Caregiver Support Program. Visiting Angels West Texas, 10 Desta Drive, Suite 105 Midland, has scheduled Understanding Alzheimer's Dementia, a caregiver support program, from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Angel Care Home Health will present the presentations. For more information, call 432-897-4094 or visit tinyurl.com/4269NNCK. Bark in the Park. Camp Bow Wow Petroplex has scheduled Bark in the Park at 6 p.m. today at Momentum Bank Ballpark, 5514 Champions Drive, Midland. Bring your four-legged best friend. For more information, call 432-254-4411 or visit campbowwow.com/petroplex or tinyurl.com/56CVDEBK. Grand Opening United Way Donations. O'Reilly Auto Parts will be celebrating the grand opening of its new store, 901 South Grant Avenue, Wednesday through May 24th. The store manager, on behalf of the entire company, will present a $200 check to United Way of Odessa. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Used eyeglasses needed. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker Avenue, is in need of used eyeglasses. The club will accept children's glasses, broken pieces, sunglasses, all prescriptions, and reading glasses. Hearing aids are also needed. For more information, call 432-335-0234 or visit tinyurl.com/5CJCJJYT. Star Yard of the Month. Keep Odessa Beautiful is taking nominations for Odessa's Pride Star Yard for June. Star Yards recognizes Odessa citizens who contribute to the overall aesthetics and health of our city by maintaining exceptionally clean and beautiful properties, both residential and commercial. To nominate a yard or for more information, call 432-335-4684. Email kob@odessa-tx.gov or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. Boil notice lifted following water main breaks. A boil water notice issued Saturday after two water line breaks in Lawndale has been lifted. Odessa's Director of Utilities, Tom Kerr, said samples taken on Saturday came back clear of contaminants and bacteria around 11 a.m. Monday. Although citizens in the North Odessa Lawndale area were able to bathe and water their lawns, they were most of the weekend without being able to consume water due to a few factors. Last Tuesday, a firm hired by the city began making repairs to a water tower in Lawndale, forcing them to take the water tank offline and placing additional pressure on a Yukon Road pumping station, Kerr said. Normally, the tank acts like a damper, helping to control water pressure surges. Since the pumping station wasn't able to control the water pressure surges as well, two older pipes broke, Kerr said. A 16-inch line at Duke and Harvard Avenues broke at 8:30 a.m. Saturday, and shortly after it was fixed, a 12-inch line at Andrews Highway and 81st Street broke. Regulations required water samples to be taken after the water tower repairs and the pipeline repairs, and for a boil water notice to be issued until the test results came back, Kerr said. The city set up a water distribution site both Saturday and Sunday night. Kerr and city manager Michael Marrero both apologized to residents for the inconvenience and praised the crews who, they said, worked hard to get the situation resolved as quickly as possible. "I am so incredibly proud of the work they did," Marrero said. "They did a phenomenal job." Odessa woman arrested on animal cruelty. A 35-year-old woman was arrested on three outstanding warrants early Friday morning, approximately 5 weeks after Odessa animal control officers said they found a dead pit bull at her home and two other dogs severely malnourished. According to the Odessa Police Department report, animal control officers were dispatched to the 700 block of McKinney Avenue on March 31st to investigate an animal cruelty report. When officers arrived, they found a pit bull mix dead and a boxer mix and a corgi mix, malnourished to the point the ribs were visible, the report stated. The boxer was on its side, unable to move, and later had to be euthanized. The corgi was locked in a kennel, but later nursed back to health. A veterinarian determined all three dogs were dehydrated and malnourished and had worms. The doctor also found their conditions could have been prevented, the report stated. The officers sought three warrants for Naomi Minjuarez, two for cruelty to animals causing serious bodily injury or death, and one for cruelty to animals neglect. She was arrested at her home shortly after 5 a.m. Friday and booked into the Ector County Jail. She was released Saturday after posting three surety bonds totaling $42,500. Tire disposal vexes commissioners. Ector County commissioners at 10 a.m. Tuesday will hear Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George's report on bids that have been submitted for the disposal of tires, which have been one of the county's primary concerns in its campaign to curb illegal dumping in rural areas. In other business, in the court's regular meeting in the county annex at 1010 East 8th Street, the commissioners will discuss setting their calendars for developing the county's 2022-23 budget. The court will also consider passing a proclamation declaring May 15th to 21st National Police Week and May 15th Peace Officers Memorial Day. Discuss allowing Brown Creations Cab Club to collaborate with the Odessa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and hold the Low Riders Against Bullying car show in the Ector County Courthouse parking lot on August 19th through 20th. Consider appointing Sheriff's Detective Heidi Zavala to replace former Detective Jody Alvarado on the board of Ector County Sexual Assault Response Team. Discuss approving an $83,585 budget amendment to motor vehicle equipment. Consider okaying a budget amendment and accepting a $5,000 donation to the library. Hear Coliseum Manager Aaron Martin's request for a $955 for educational travel. Consider purchasing Agent Lucy Soto's report on an increase in the price of paper towels and bathroom tissue. Is there a Medicare penalty for leaving a rehab facility too soon? Dear Tony, 10 days ago, I placed my mother, who has Medicare, in a rehab facility for approximately 3 weeks, thinking that her post-hospital therapy would go better there than it would here at home. Wrong. I enrolled my poor mother into the halls of hell, and now I desperately need to spring her out of there. My problem is this. We are fearful that she will be penalized in some way for not staying the entire 20 days. Thank you in advance for the advice. Help. Sincerely yours, Loretta from Sugarland. Dear Loretta, I have never seen a Medicare penalty for not spending the 20 days in a skilled nursing or rehab facility. If you feel the facility is not giving your mother the care she needs, it is her right to leave. I would report her unhappiness to the facility administrator. Before trying to release her from the rehab facility, I would talk with your mother's doctor or facility's case manager. A better alternative than bringing her home is hiring a personal care provider to spend time with your mother and make sure that your mother is taken care of at the rehab facility. This will take some of the burden from you since you cannot be at the rehab center 24/7. Medicare will pay only for medically necessary health-related claims. Many believe that Medicare helps with long-term care, but Medicare will only pay for a skilled nursing rehab facility stay. If one cannot qualify or does not meet Medicare's qualification for skilled nursing rehab facility care, then they may have to pay 100% of the cost. Skilled nursing rehab facility has 100 days of benefit, with day 1 through 20 having zero copay per day, and days 21 through 100 with a daily copay that changes each year. Medicare pays absolutely nothing for assisted living, personal care homes, or extra provider care that is not medically necessary at home. Confused and stressed out Americans need help at home with daily routines involving functional mobility and personal care, such as bathing, dressing, toileting, and meal preparation. If your mother has a long-term care policy, then it can help pay for non-medical services. If not, then she will have to pay for it herself until she spends down to qualify for Medicaid. There is financial help known as aid and attendant benefit from the VA for America's veterans and their spouses. This program is a secret that many do not know about. There are over $40 billion available to veterans as a pension so that the veteran or spouse of a vet who needs additional care at home or to help pay for assisted living facility or non-medical personal care at home. Here are tips to help you choose a non-medical provider. Decide if at-home care is the right choice, non-medical or at-home care is different than home health care provided with Medicare. 2. Evaluate the pros and cons of at-home non-medical caregivers, assisted living, personal care, or nursing homes. Determine the cost of long-term care options. Recently, a new at-home care short-term plan with very few medical underwriting questions was released in Texas. When one cannot qualify for long-term care underwriting, this short-term care plan is a new option. Sign up for the Tony Says Medicare newsletter to keep up with Medicare rules and changes at www.tonisays.com. To sign up for the Tony Says online webinar event, Tony King has authored several books on the subject of Medicare and has appeared regularly as a guest on the American Family Radio Network. Today's obituary on May 10th. Russell Glenn Stuteville, San Antonio. Russell Glenn Stuteville, 65, of Midland, went to be with Jesus on May 6th, but he was born March 10th, 1956, to Dean and Doris Stuteville. He is survived by his wife, Sheila Stuteville, sons Russell and Corey Stuteville of Midland, sister Cindy Banta and her husband Dennis of Brownfield, brother Jimmy Stuteville and his wife Sharon of Texas, and 6 grandchildren. He was a friend to many and never knew a stranger he didn't make a friend. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 11th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland. Service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, May 12th at Mid-City Church, 8700 Texas, 191 Midland. The burial will take place at 4:30 p.m. Thursday, May 12th, Crane Memorial Garden Cemetery. The family would like to express their gratitude toward friends and family. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, May 9th. Summer heat has begun. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. It's the second week of May, and the thermometer is hitting the triple digits. I don't know why that first heat wave of the summer always seems to sneak up on me, but it does. That first time it hits 100 just seems to happen up so quickly that I just never feel prepared for it. And it's important to prepare for the summer heat because heat can kill and kill quickly. According to the National Safety Council, in the U.S. in 2019, 884 people died and another 2,061 people were injured seriously enough to require hospitalization related to excessive heat. People who are at the highest risk for heat-related injury or death are those who work outside in hot weather, infants and young children, people 65 and older, people who have chronic health conditions, and people who are overweight. If you work in the heat, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, recommends frequent rest periods away from the heat to cool down, especially as people are adjusting to hot conditions. Stay hydrated and drink before you get thirsty. Avoid caffeinated and alcoholic beverages. Water and electrolyte replacement beverages are best. Finally, watch coworkers for signs of heat exhaustion or heat stroke and intervene. Often people do not recognize the symptoms in themselves, so it's important to keep our eyes on our colleagues and friends in hot weather. The biggest risk to infants and children for heat stroke and heat exhaustion is being left in hot cars. According to Kids and Cars, an organization dedicated to child safety in vehicles, an average of 37 kids die every year because they are left in a hot car. It's probably not surprising, but Texas leads the nation in deaths related to kids in cars. We have a large population in this state, plus we have very hot weather much of the year. From 1998 to 2015, 100 kids died in Texas related to heat in cars. 87% of all child deaths from being left in cars are in kids 3 or younger. 55% are under the age of 1. Experts believe this is largely related to backwards-facing car seats in the rear seats of vehicles and their inability to communicate beyond cries and babbling. Some things to remember. Never leave a child in a car unattended, even if you are only going to be away for a minute. Seconds count when a kid is left alone in a car. Temperatures can rise as quickly as 20 degrees in the first 10 minutes. Kids have a very different ratio of body weight to height than adults do. Because of that, their body temperature can rise 3 to 5 times faster than an adult can with the same heat exposure. It doesn't have to be hot outside for a car to get too hot for a child inside. There are recorded cases of child deaths from heat exposure in cars in the shade, with windows down, and with temperatures as low as 57 degrees. Most accidental deaths with kids in cars happen when people vary their routines or are tired. In those circumstances, do something where you are forced to remember you have a child with you, like put one of your shoes in the car seat. I know it sounds silly, but it can save a life. Symptoms of heat exhaustion include pale, ashen, or moist skin, muscle cramps, fatigue, weakness, or exhaustion, headache, dizziness or fainting, nausea or vomiting, and rapid heart rate. If someone is showing those symptoms, quickly get them to a cooler area, give them water or cool non-alcoholic, non-caffeinated beverages, apply wet towels, or have them take a cool shower. It's important to get heat exhaustion victims treated quickly because heat exhaustion can turn into heat stroke, and heat stroke can be fatal. Symptoms of heat stroke are a body temperature of above 103 degrees, loss of ability to sweat, rapid breathing, flushed, hot, dry skin, altered mental status, irrational behavior, convulsions, or unresponsiveness. In the case of heat stroke, call 911, move the victim to a cool place, remove unnecessary clothing, cool the person as quickly as possible, preferably by immersing them up to the neck in cool water. If you cannot do that, place them in a cool shower or covering as much of the body as possible with cool, wet towels. If they stop breathing, be prepared to start CPR. Do not force someone in heat stroke to drink, don't use alcohol to cool their skin, and don't give them pain relievers or salt tablets. Remember, with heat, the best medicine is prevention. Stay as cool as you can, drink lots of water, and never leave a child, a pet, or anyone else in a hot car.
Is lung cancer lurking in your clothes dryer? Dear Dr. Roach, I heard that air freshener and fabric softener sheets may cause lung cancer. Is this true? PG. Answer. What is true is that these products release volatile organic compounds according to a 2011 study. VOCs encompass a large group of chemicals, some of which will increase the risk of cancer if ingested at high enough doses for a long enough period of time. Some of these include alcohol and acetaldehyde, both of which are known, definite, or probable carcinogens. Nonetheless, people ingest alcohol at high levels, and acetaldehyde is found in ripe fruits, among other places. The study found products listed as organic, green, natural, or non-toxic that had similar amounts of potentially toxic or hazardous chemicals. The type of study precluded any assessment of the magnitude of risk from exposure to these chemicals. However, the Environmental Protection Agency has estimated less than 1 in 100,000 chance of developing cancer from continuous exposure to acetaldehyde. The effect of multiple volatile organic compounds acting together hasn't been studied. Saying that air fresheners cause cancer is sensational and doesn't really address the factors a person should concern themselves with, such as the level of exposure to something that's necessary to develop risk, and the amount of risk of getting lung cancer from using fabric softeners with a laundry. It is clear that these products can lead to allergic reactions. I see respiratory symptoms and rashes fairly frequently. However, my best guess from the studies I have read is that the risk of developing cancer from these products is very, very low.
This is the Dear Abby column. Couple reconnects, but can't rekindle the past they had. Dear Abby, I met a man, Gabe, 30 years ago. We had a very good time together. We dated some and even traveled occasionally. I liked him a lot, but when we met, I was divorced and looking for marriage. He was not. I moved for my job and met and married someone else. Gabe did call to keep in touch for several years, but the calls stopped. I never forgot him. My husband passed away 4 years ago, and then COVID hit. Feeling the loneliness of lockdown, I wrote letters to people I hadn't heard from in years. Gabe's was one such letter. He called me after he received it, and we reconnected. We have enjoyed each other's company off and on since then. I would love to have a deeper relationship with him. Unfortunately, he regards me as nothing more than a friend. He is intelligent, quick-witted, well-traveled, and still very handsome. I enjoy his company very much. I've wanted to tell him how I feel, but I don't want to jeopardize what we have together. So here I am, now in my 60s, feeling lost and not knowing how to handle my desire to be with him. What do you think? Signed, Long History in Florida. Dear History, if you are looking for more than you already have with Gabe, you are wasting your time. Gabe is satisfied with the relationship just as it is. If he wasn't, believe me, he would have mentioned it. If what you need is someone to nest with, you will have to look elsewhere. Sorry, he isn't it. Dear Abby, I am contemplating asking my wife for a divorce. Her 86-year-old mother lives with us. After she moved in, I quickly realized that her mother is a bigot, nosy, and has little to no respect for my wife. I could go on and on. Agreeing to her mother moving in was the worst mistake of my life. I avoid her like the plague now. I can work from home full-time, but prefer to drive 75 miles a day to get out of the house. Her mother needs more care now than can be provided at home. However, my wife wants to bring someone in a few days a week, since I no longer work from home. She's just delaying the inevitable. I believe her mother is more important to her than I am, and if that's the case, I can't change her mind. Aside from this, we have a great marriage. I don't want to lose what I have, but I am prepared to walk away. Advice? Signed, Hates the House Guest. Dear Hates, I do have some. If assisted living is in your mother-in-law's future, it would be kinder to have her take up residency soon, while she's capable of adjusting to it, rather than postponing it until there is an emergency. You are long overdue for a frank and not very pleasant conversation with your wife about how you feel you rank on her list of priorities. Feeling as you do, it may be your only chance of saving your marriage. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.